AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you today, Matt. Brett here. God, when was the last time you and I did a show together, man?
I don't know. I got to remember. So this turns the mic on. This does the music.
So in good shape. A pretty standard show then. All right. I'll be in there during the commercial break to write everything. No, I have no idea what I'm doing here either. What's up in the 4 o'clock? You? Doing
I have a couple of interviews I'm playing back tonight.
All right, there you go.
Tonight, I am streaming professional wrestling again.
Where are you doing this at?
Bloomington Events Center.
Who's wrestling? Who's on the card?
They have the Northern States Championship on the line, determined by the Lethal Lottery.
Really?
Yes.
Do we know some of the guys in the Lethal Lottery?
I know one of the guys is named The System.
Can we get The System on the... I will give the interview.
He would be a good one, too, yeah.
I would not... And this is not... Hey, dude, I don't care who you are. And granted, I think you don't want to, really hurt somebody. But if anyone thinks that what they're doing doesn't leave a mark, it does leave a mark. And they're tough guys, man. I find wrestling great. I was WrestleMania. I was the first WrestleMania. I was Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, that whole group, Roddy Piper. That was the era I came up in. And I love wrestling. Me and Gene Okerlund. I mean, Gene Okerlund... His kid went to a Dyna when I was there.
That's right.
He was in the hockey stands. He'd watch over at Braemar. He'd watch the games at Braemar. And, so, me and Gene Okerlund. And God,
did he actually talk like that, too, when he was
no.
Okay.
I didn't really. He said, hi there. That's the last thing the guy needs. He's there to see his son play hockey. Hi, sir. Can I just sit in your presence? Thanks. No, but okay. So, okay. Who else is on the card tonight?
Mitch Paradise is the world champion.
Okay, you got to get me Mitch Paradise, man.
Well, you know what his theme song is too.
What?
Paradise City, of course.
Oh, take me out to Paradise City.
Yeah, exactly.
Guns N' Roses. Okay. I'll take Mitch Paradise in here.
Yeah.
I would love to hear these guys because their stories are great. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're at a level where they're doing this for pure freaking love.
Oh, I mean, yeah, these guys are driving 8 hours.
Love. Talk to the guys. Let them know I'll bring someone on. We'll do some holiday shows. We'll do some of the holiday shows with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
In a heartbeat. I'd love that. I went out last night as the Vikings. God, that was... I think the Vikings just didn't take that game seriously last night when they beat up on Washington.
Well, really, Thursday night football is kind of a joke in itself. There's never a good game on Thursday because the teams are on such short rest.
Yeah,
they're always going to be sloppy.
I decided because that game was on that was the night we were going to go out to the spectacular over at the Minnesota Zoo with all the jack-o'-lanterns. Did that last year. I was so impressed. Went again. Just a lot of fun. I went late, though. We got there about 8:30, and that's about the time you want to do it because you can kind of walk in fairly quickly and get to see all this stuff. Man, the guys are carving those pumpkins. What do you do for the rest of the year? I mean, it's not like you're carving cranberries or anything like that or, an Easter. Well, maybe do ornate Easter eggs. But the artistic ability on some of these pumpkins is insane. And, yeah, just a good time. I sure would not want to be the guy that has to go hang all the ones in the trees. Those look like that's going to take some time. Have you ever been out to one of those?
I have not, no.
The first year I thought about doing it was when they had it over at the state fairgrounds. And I called up, and tickets were $40. Got news for you.
$40?
It was. But it's a lot cheaper. Was it 15? For this, and it's a little bit of a hike. I mean, you got to walk way out past the muskox over at the Minnesota Zoo. It's back in there. It's back where they had like the dinosaurs when they had those summer exhibits on. It's back in there, and so it's a haul of a walk, but it's kind of fun. And boy, it sure kind of puts you in the Halloween spirit. That's for sure. It's like watching a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. It's like boom, instantaneously, I'm ready for Halloween. So I had a good time with that. I do want to mention, if I can, at Park Tavern coming up here on Saturday, tomorrow, they've got their Halloween extravaganza, Stranger Things Halloween, they're calling it. The best female costume, best male costume, best couples costume, complimentary pizza buffet, no cover, cosmic bowling, plus they got a music with a DJ. It's a 21-plus event. So if you want more information, parktavern.net, parktavern.net. The place gets packed. They have a great time. If you're looking for a good Halloween party, you've not done one, or you generally haven't done gone to one, you don't have to be in costume. But you will see a lot of people in great costumes. It's a lot of fun. Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park. Once again, that event is tomorrow night at the Park Tavern. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let me shuffle through my briefs here. All right. You know, I love how I do my notes for the show. Consummate prep, you know. You remember when I talked about how much I went back and I rewatched the movie Armageddon?
That inspired me to go back and rewatch that as well.
Space dementia. Yes. Yes.
Just starting with shooting golf balls at the at Greenpeace.
Well, he's going to shoot golf balls at Greenpeace. And then, if you did not catch this, I actually wrote about this on the blog. I watched this movie. My kids watched it and were laughing their butt off because if there ever was a piece of media which predicated the Trump era in this country, it's the movie Armageddon. Everything about that movie is about validating losers who have, I was always smarter than the brainiacs, and all I needed was a chance to prove myself. And in that movie, the idiots get put on the space shuttles and launched onto an asteroid and manage to save the world. And see, we validated ourselves. The reality is if we actually sent people like that out into space, they'd all be dead. We would, like I said, the movie is so corny. The only thing missing is a pickup truck and a dog in space. I mean, that's really about the only thing that would turn this into Dukes and Hazzard Asteroid Division. You know, it really is. Did you find space dementia?
This is insane. He's got space dementia.
He's got space dementia, I say. Who's the guy again that does that? Oh, God, I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah.
The actor who does that. Oh. Anyway, he's got space dementia, kids, just FYI. I mean, the entire concept of the movie is three-time losers who basically, because no one likes them and they failed and everything, they're out in the middle of some South Pacific Ocean drilling for something. They're down dirty. I do dirty work. I'm down in the dirt. And they just don't get me, even though so they're out there. And basically the entire concept is that they were always right. They're the real heroes. And that everyone else, all the brainy people, all the people in charge, they're stupid because you got to do what we say, sort of thing. It really is a predicator of the Trump administration. It really is in the Trump fans. I mean, it gets ludicrous. I mean, their perception of people who are smart is all that they're bumbling nerds and they don't know what they're talking about. And yeah, I don't know. I'm smart. That's all I am. I can't talk to a girl. And the one brain guy they've got on the team, the one brain guy they got on the team, is supposed to, because this is written by someone who's so stupid that they think that just smart people know all the smarts. So not only is he a geologist, but he's also an astrophysicist. And, you know, I just going to let you know, there's not a lot of crossover in those sciences. There's the scene where the guy basically says, listen here, NASA, I'm going to do it my way, which is just great. I also love the guy at the end getting the space shuttle to work by beating it with a wrench because, you know, reasons. But there's one guy in there, and he plays Bruce Willis's buddy. He's been in a lot of films. And he gives up the ghost because his character is kind of like supposed to be the heart of the movie. He's some three-time loser that's divorced. He can't see his kid. He's not supposed to go anywhere near his kid. And as he's getting ready to get launched into space, he basically stops by and drops off a space shuttle and just say, one day he'll be proud of me, son. And then he takes off. And then the next day it shows him getting launched into space. And it's like, that's your daddy. Like, he's the hero now. No, trust me. I'm gonna call it as it is. I don't think that that's gonna change things. All right. Even if you did manage to get launched onto a space shuttle and thrown into space, I don't think that's gonna make things better. You are a pretty crappy dad to a point where you're not even supposed to be around your kid. But now he's gonna be proud of me. It doesn't change who you are, dude. But that's the entire thing. It's about losers who have always had this inferiority complex because they just, the brain guys, or they didn't get the hot girl, all this stuff, them showing everyone else how to do it and being the heroes. And I said to myself as I watched this, seriously, if this was real world, those space shuttles would have basically just, I think the pilots on those space shuttles would just kind of, all right, I'll take the asteroid, you know? If my choice is I got to go with these guys, or basically have the world destroyed by an asteroid. I'm just going to, we're going up, we're going down. There we go. And we're finished. Seriously, I'm surprised Boss Hogg and Roscoe P. Cotrain were not following him on another space shuttle saying, oh, those Duke boys are trying to get away from him by going to the asteroid. I mean, it is seriously, but it is a predecessor of the Trump administration and the Trump fan. Matt is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on Armageddon. Welcome on in, Matt.
Oh, Matt, you're killing me. This is great. I think it's funny. You know, I was going to say that I thought Idiocracy was a good predecessor to him just because of, like, the way everything was just deteriorating and devolving in that movie as well. But, this is great, Matt. Thanks for the great work. Resist on, brother. Bye-bye.
No problem. Matt in Minneapolis there. Thank you very much. William Fitcher. William Fitcher. Space dementia. Do you have that ready to go again?
I can get that again. By the way, there's some big names in that movie.
There's a ton of big names.
Owen Wilson's a supporting character in there.
Steve Buscemi is in that. I mean, Steve Buscemi is like, this is like the most dredging of it. I mean, Willis I kind of expect. Bruce Willis I kind of expect, but I mean, the
got Ben Affleck's in it.
Had Ben Affleck's in it. Liv Tyler in it. I mean, before she noticed, she went Lord of the Rings and she never went back. She's like, okay, no, I'm not doing a movie like that again. And but no, I mean, the entire thing is the validity of idiots and trying to say that. See, we were right all the time.
Oh, it's got space dementia.
It's space dementia. Damn it! Damn it! That would be, of course, when Steve Buscemi is riding on top of the nuclear weapon. The whole thing is just trash. Which brings me to where we're at. What did you guys think? Seriously. What did you guys think when you put him in charge? What did you think was going to happen? He was going to tell like it is, lead from the gut. Was he going to show that high school cheerleader that you asked out but said no way to you, that she was always wrong, that she should have dated you instead? Is that what he was going to do for you? He validated you because he played upon the worst of society. More than likely, the reason why you're a three-time loser is probably a racist, bigot jackass. Can I just call it as it is? You're a racist, bigot jackass, and no one really likes you. But then he spoke to you, and he said, oh, well, you're misunderstood. Yeah, I'm misunderstood! And so you put him in charge. And this entire country is spiraling the bowl at this point. You've annihilated most of our allies. I mean, this is, we're not even to 3 years. We're not even to 3 years. Most of our allies hate us now. Most of them do. The only ones that don't are military dictators and despots. Russia loves us because everything Trump does is exactly what Russia wants. And funny, Russia helped him win the election. Everything this guy has touched has been an absolute disaster. He has put in charge around him people who are so incompetent and so full of zealotry that it's impossible to believe that the founding fathers ever thought we'd ever get to this point. You want to know how bad it has gotten in this country? Lindsey Graham came on out with what he thought was going to be a universally supported, unanimous Republican letter to Nancy Pelosi condemning him, condemning the impeachment inquiry, and them saying, we will never vote for impeachment. Do you know who the voice of reason was to go to Lindsey Graham and say, whoa, this is too extreme? Tom freaking Cotton. Tom Cotton went to him and said, I can't sign this. This is too extreme. Arkansas Senator Cotton, that nutbag, he was like, whoa, whoa, you're crossing some lines. This country is spiraling right now, and it's not good. Oh, tax cuts. Tax cuts went to the wealthy, never trickled down, and the deficits exploded. Trade war. Trade war is tonight. Yesterday, I talked about how the Cleveland Cliffs and the metal producer, their profits are down 79%. Foreclosures on farms are up like crazy. Man, there is nothing in the trade world that's gotten better because of Trump. Nothing. Nothing. He's made our allies less safe. He's absolutely misused the military, and he doesn't give a rat's caboose about the military when he gets them killed with his own stupidity. What did you think was going to happen? Did you think that all of a sudden all those brainy guys that left and went to college while you sat behind and wished you could have gone someplace were all going to come back and say, boy, oh boy, I wish I was you? No. This doesn't validate you. None of this does. It validates your racism, it validates your bigotry, it invalidates your incompetence, but it doesn't validate anything else. He is the worst human being we could possibly ever have as the president. He is a master narcissist. He is only in it for himself. For God's sakes, there's a story today where he basically demands immediate Twitter readouts after he does one of these speeches to see what they praised him for. That is not the sign of leadership. That's the sign of a megalomaniac. And today it kind of got real. Actually, last night it kind of got real. And it has led me to sit here and contemplate a very stark question. Will the United States survive Donald Trump? Because I don't know. At this point, I'm going to be honest, I don't know. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. More on this when I do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, a spotlight on local politics, Minsure open enrollment, the Minnesota High School League's plan to deal with financial woes, and a chat with the new manager of the North Shore's iconic Split Rock Lighthouse. Tune us in right here or at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950.
Hi, this is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. It's been great working with so many of the passionate AM 950 listeners over the years. We have realized how important AM 950 is to the community. I want to see AM 950 continue to grow and continue to thrive into the future. To help continue to grow, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to do your part by liking and sharing the content on AM 950 social media platforms.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Ryan has always told me the best time to get work done is during the colder months of the year because demand is much lower. He is backing that up again by offering 30% off labor on windows and siding from now until the end of December. Call Snap Construction now to get 30% off labor on windows and siding. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Trust the company AM 950 trusts, Snap Construction, arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window contractor in the metro area. Get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, conscious machines.
Wouldn't it be cool if they were thinking, feeling conscious machines?
What, to make us obsolete?
Oh, don't be so alarmist, Ken.
Human brains are slow, dumb, and creaky. Machine brains will be fast, smart, and reliable.
So we'll program them to do the dangerous, dirty, boring work and leave the fun stuff to us.
Yeah, until they wise up and wipe us out.
Conscious machines. Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. What have you guys wrought? What have you done, Trump supporter? This morning, we were greeted with the story that the Attorney General Barr has decided to criminalize his investigation into his own Department of Justice to try to basically... my first thought was he's trying to collect all the evidence of Russian interference. Reminder, one of the big things here that they're trying to do with Ukraine and all this stuff is basically try to shift reality to something that doesn't exist. We all know Russia was interfering in the election. For God's sakes, we knew this before the election was over. It was pretty clear. I mean, multiple countries, multiple, you know, spy agencies in multiple countries knew this was going on. And so they're trying to basically rewrite reality, because what Barr is trying to do here, I thought, was trying to collect all the evidence of Russian involvement so that they can hide it or destroy it. The other side of it is to basically discredit. I thought it was about discrediting the investigation, the initial investigation. See, I'm filing criminal charges. And granted, no court in the world would probably stand up for these criminal charges. And people basically being told, okay, well, the Russians seem to be trying to hack the election system of Maryland, so can you look into that? And is Barr what going to say, you should have ignored that? I mean, I don't know exactly how he's going to criminalize this, but multiple people came to me and said, hey, Matt, are you sure this is not about trying to find a way to throw political enemies in jail? And I stepped back for a second. And the reality is I started to run through all the stuff that we've been hearing about in the last few days. So is Barr really basically weaponizing the Department of Justice to basically start arresting political dissidents of Trump? He could be. He's clearly shown that he's a loyal stooge and that the law and all that stuff does not matter to him. You've had this story out there. I mean, if I were the Republicans... And I was looking to basically, because once again, if the Democrats show up to vote like they did in 2018, Trump is done. He is done. It's not even going to be close. So what they've got to do is something similar to what they did back in 2016, which is use frustrated Bernie fans and convince them to stay at home because Hillary will be known better than Trump, which once again, I heard a lot of Bernie fans insisting that in the days after the election. How'd that work out? Oh, that's right. You were horribly wrong because you were manipulated by the Russians. So they got to figure out a way to keep a lot of Democrats at home. Well, there's all, Jill Stein is still out there, and she's clearly kind of got some involvement with the Russians. I mean, clearly, you're not sitting at a table with Vladimir Putin just by accident. That's not a oopsie, they put my name card on the wrong table over at a wedding. And she will not talk about why she has gone to Russia and been meeting with the Russians. She won't talk about that. So that could pull voters away from the progressive side. And then Hillary Clinton puts out this warning about, referring to Tulsi Gabbard, about, you know, possibly running as a moderate. Well, yeah, if you're not going to be able to get enough people to stay at home if you're only running Jill Stein against on the left, so maybe you can get enough of the moderate Democrats by saying, hey, do you really want to go with this uber left progressive stance? Tulsi Gabbard is the option on the table. If I was trumping the Russians, that's what I would do. If I was trumping the Russians, I would run. And Tulsi Gabbard, she makes no damn sense, if you want to know the truth. She was on Trump's side right away after the election. She has been on Assad's side in Syria. And she's, you know, she seems to have a newfound love affair with Fox News because they allow her to go on there, and they love it when he goes on there and basically bashes on the Democratic Party. But, you know, how much would she garner? I don't know. You have the stocking of the courts. I mean, I saw another justice who was approved today that the American Bar Association has determined is unqualified to serve, and yet now has been given, at 37 years old, a lifetime appointment to the courts in, I think it was in Kentucky. And that's just one of the judges. They've stocked these courts with judges left and right. And why? Well, let's look at Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education. She was found in contempt of court because basically she has not stopped this plan to basically collect money from people who are fraudulent, went to fraudulent education systems and were defrauded themselves of their money. And she refuses them to let them off the hook for the fraud of these other people, even though the courts have ordered it. And now she is being fined $100,000 and basically said, you have to basically, you know, make sure these people are not being screwed over. And she's refusing. Well, now you've got courts. And trust me, eventually it will end up that Betsy DeVos herself will be in court defending herself against why she herself refused to let these people off the hook. And there'll be a civil action against her of some sort, having to have her explain why she basically was, you know, ignored court rules and, you know, purposely hurt people. Well, now you have judges in there who are going to be saying, well, even though she's guilty as hell, I'm not going to charge her. Yep. So you got that. You got the vilifying of the investigation. My God, what the hell was that? That, you know, clown car. Once again, the Democrats are following the rules the Republicans themselves passed in January of 2015, signed by John Boehner. 12 of the people that were protesting not being able to get into the meeting could actually have gone through the employee entrance of the meeting because they were on the committees. But yet they decided to stand in the hall and scream that they couldn't get in there to a meeting where they could get into there. They are doing everything in their power right now. And I heard this on CNN this morning, person making the comment about how he was a Republican. I think it was from Texas. And he was saying that, oh, well, you know, they won't let us see what's in these files, these interviews. We can't see what's in here. We can't read the transcripts. We need to be able to read the transcripts. We need to see what's going on. We can't determine what's real or what's not real. And then the guy will say, well, what else do you want to say? Well, there's no print quote, you know, quote pro. There wasn't any. Well, you can't say that if you're saying we don't know what's in the interviews. Do you have evidence that there wasn't? No? Oh, so you want to look at that. So you can't say if there was any. And even the Republican senators are now starting to say, wait a minute here. We can't just blindly say no. Then you have the story of the whistleblower complaints. And this was kind of scary. Political appointees of the Department of Veterans Affairs failed to follow a new law in disciplining employees and protecting whistleblowers. Instead, used it to mount shady and biased investigations, according to the agency's watchdog. In a blistering report released Thursday, the VA's Inspector General said the Department of Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection investigated things it shouldn't have, didn't investigate things it was required to, bungled the investigation to do it. It also misspent funds. President Trump created the office with an executive order in 2017. Congress then confided in the law. Trump frequently points to it as one of his accomplishments. The findings confirms ProPublica's reporting since 2018 that the law has been used as the opposite of its stated purpose. The whistleblower's office acted in ways which were inconsistent with its statutory authority, while it simultaneously floundered in its mission to protect whistleblowers. So they're attacking people that have the guts to come out and say, you know what? This is wrong. All of it together, this is, I mean, I want to make sure we just, all this stuff, possible moderate Democratic candidate Jill Stein, Bill Barr investigating the DOG, the stockpiling of the courts, the vilifying of the impeachment investigation, the ignoring of court rulings against them, and whistleblowers being attacked while Trump is out there trying to sell his hotel, basically, you know, demanding he's claimed to be the greatest of all time. This is their strategy. This is 2020 playing out right now. a craziness, an insanity, a absolute looniness that is to turn this country into as much of a clown car as it possibly can be turned into, because it's the only way they can win. And if it still looks like it's going to fail, guess what? We had a Major League Baseball umpire, 50 years old, not some drunk 23-year-old, 50-year-old Major League Baseball player saying, repeating the lies of the Republican talking points. Well, there's an impeachment. I'm grabbing an AR-15, implying he's going to start shooting people randomly. And trust me, there's a lot of loon balls out there. Impotent, sad people who, if it can't be my way, I'm going to go get a gun. Because the hardest thing about our society is this. People cannot look in the mirror and say, I've made the mistakes. I'm the person that's wrong. They have to blame someone else for their own failures in life. And if you get to a point where Trump looks like he's about, I mean, the whole thing is collapsing, do you think these people want to acknowledge their failure in following this clown? Their mistake in doing so? Or will they go grab their gun and say, I'll show them? Right now, I am going to guess we are going to have multiple shootings on Election Day of deranged loonball Republicans grabbing assault weapons and shooting up polling places in an attempt to stop Democrats from voting against Donald Trump. Because at this point, that's where this is headed. And it's not me that's fueling this. It's the Republican Party and Trump himself and everyone in his administration who are pouring as much gasoline on this fire as possible. This is their plan. To destabilize this country so much to a point that they hope that the only option is to keep Trump in power. My God, what a sad day for America it is. What a sad day when idiots feel as if this crap fest is some sort of sunny day. This is their plan. This is their agenda. And unfortunately, with one of the political parties that holds a lot of power in this country, there is no leadership and no guts to say, whoa, hold on a second. When you've gotten to the point where Tom Cotton is even starting to get uncomfortable with where this is going, it should be setting off red flags, alarms, fireworks, every bell and whistle that could be there. Instead, I'm going to go watch Armageddon again. That movie is great. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Gary, David, Patrick, I'll try to get your calls here when I get back from the break. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more, on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style every Sunday at 5 p.m. You know, on the radio program, I often say that life is the big stuff, but living is in the details. The furniture in your home may be details, but that's where you do the living. So why not speak to one of Habitation's design professionals about making your space the best it can be? Habitation, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Hi, this is Evelyn. Please, Dad, not again.
How about no dates ever?
Okay. My father is a beacon of hope for us all. Matt McNeil.
Holla!
Wow. I now have my driver's permit. My dad says my behind-the-wheel training for the next year will be in our Toyota Siennas. They're safe, reliable, and fun to drive, even when you're just learning.
I trust my vehicles with my kids. Toyotas are peace of mind. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
If you're struggling with what to give someone for a holiday, birthday, welcome gift, or to say thank you, try an affordable, easy, and unique gift, a You Betcha Box. What are they? Curated Minnesota gift boxes that include delicious Minnesota-made gourmet goodies. And with a name like You Betcha, you know it's local. You Betcha Boxes are a real-world example of what we can achieve when we support and nurture one another. Featuring a variety of fun, Minnesota-themed options, there is sure to be something for everyone. Every box also includes the Artisan Maker Profiles. Your gift recipient will enjoy reading about these amazing, award-winning products and the interesting stories of the Minnesotans behind them. You Betcha Boxes are perfect for family and friends across the country and make great business gifts that will show your employees, co-workers, and clients your appreciation. Just go to YouBetchaBox.com and browse through the wide variety of local Minnesota-made gift boxes. Shipping is always included in the price. There is sure to be something that will leave a lasting impression. That's YouBetchaBox.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com, Restaurant of the Week, Downtown or Woodfire Grill. Fantastic food. Great place for breakfast, so keep that in mind for this weekend. But if you got anything over at the X, stop on by there. Have dinner first. Fantastic fire-grilled meats. Great menu. Very family-friendly and lots of free parking. 253 West 7th Street in St. Paul. Downtown or Woodfire Grill is the EatLocalMinnesota.com Restaurant of the Week. 952-946-6205. Let's go to line two. David the Trucker. David, thanks for holding. Welcome on in.
Thanks, Matt. Hey, America's going to survive. We got some problems, no doubt. But 45 has exposed a lot of stuff. And I mean, he's ripped the stitches off some wounds that obviously haven't healed yet. But the problem's going to be that after this is all said and done, we're going to have to learn to trust each other. Because you're going to have people that support him now. They're going to say, no, I never supported that guy. But how do you know?
Well,
have to learn to love each other again.
Well, and it definitely is like after the New Kids on the Block had their album. Thanks, David. And that sold, 13 million copies. I tried to find people that had bought copies of that. No one did. No, did we think wounds were healed, or did we just convince ourselves these wounds were healed? Let's remind ourselves, throughout the southern United States, there are Confederate war monuments. Throughout, most of the southeastern United States had Confederate flags in their state flag as a big middle finger back to the U.S. government. We tolerated, the signs this was there was always there. And if you ask a lot of African American people and other minority groups, oh yeah, it was always there. It's just that a lot of white America refused to see it. A lot of white America didn't want to acknowledge it. He didn't open up wounds. I mean, these were still open fester sores. It's just we convinced ourselves the patient was healed. But now we need to kill this crap now. We need to get rid of this racism, this bigotry, this homophobia. We have a chance to do this. And are we that far gone that I'm convinced that this is where we're headed? I don't know. I still have a very hard time thinking the U.S. military is going to turn on this country and just do what Trump says. I mean, you saw how I've never heard of troops openly criticizing Trump like they did a president, like they did with Trump after the decision to pull out of northern Syria. I mean, they were the regular soldiers, not the generals, the regular soldiers saying, what the hell are you doing? We have to bomb our own base because you're trying to, kiss caboose with a military dictator in Turkey because you got a hotel there. Dear Lord, I at the end of the day, and you're requiring a lot of police departments to open fire on their own citizens. And whereas I do have some questions about certain officers and what their real motivations are. No, I don't have a new mustache. Never mind. I do have some questions about certain officers and what they would do with a smile on their face. I don't believe most police officers would be for starting to gun down the citizens of their own country. I just don't. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary. Thanks for holding.
Well, Matt, I'm going to try and answer your question. I noticed the ugliness, the profound change in ugliness in the country in the 1980 Republican-Reagan sweep and the race card. and the liberal government bashing became really profound then. And my generation, I was kind of really upset with the baby boomer generation, who they're the most devout followers of this Trump group and the Republicans all these years. And I just want to say the saving of our country. My belief is the younger generation, they're more diverse racially in all kinds of ways, and they're the biggest losers of this class warfare. A lot of it's a generational, I'm talking as a group, not stereotyping. My generation is a lot better off and financially. They had better jobs when we were young. Then the young ones got hurt the most, and they're more apt to save our country if they get politically active.
Well, thanks, Gary. I appreciate the phone call. I will say that it's interesting. It's not the people who are elderly that are the biggest supporters of Trump. It's actually the group is 50 to 65-year-olds. That was in the Star Tribune today. They broke down the latest poll. His strongest numbers are 50 to 65-year-olds, which, by the way, coincidentally, since I'm 51, were growing up, you know, kind of their teenage years in the Reagan administration. And not only do they not see Reagan for the flawed president that he was, he did have some mistakes. He definitely had some mistakes. That was there. Iran-Contra was a horrible nightmare. Plus the fact that, you know, he was the beginning of this whole deficit spending idea of keep spending, keep spending, keep spending. Eventually, you'll have to bankrupt social programs to pay down the debt. And just to do that, you gave back tax cuts. But this, you know, and it ran from, it, you know, kind of really ran from, you know, that 15 years, starting in probably about 1980 to 1995 before we started coming out of that fog a little bit and realizing the mess that we've gotten into. But that group of people, there's where the loyalty is 50 to 65-year-olds. Not the older groups actually are much more receptive to the Democrats because they see what the Republicans are trying to do to their health care and their Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security. So it's a mess. It's a mess. This is what really happens when you take a bunch of oil rig drillers who are so socially inept and moronic that they basically end up having to go work in the middle of the South Pacific because no one really wants to be anywhere near them. And you put them on a space shuttle to try to save the world. You know, you know what the most unrealistic thing on that was? They didn't like stash booze on the space shuttle. You know, I told you there were some cargo issues here. That was because I could not find any of that whiskey. I got it right. Good old-fashioned moonshine, boys. Woo! Get drunk and sleep through the asteroid strike. Realize, well, what planet do we go to now? Yeah. You know, and maybe that's what it is that it's that's what really they're hoping for, is that the asteroid actually wipes out the Earth. That way they don't have to face up to the fact that, yeah, no, you probably shouldn't have put the dumbest people on the planet on the space shuttle. Probably not the best idea. You should not have put Donald Trump in the White House. He has not done a damn thing for us. And we're all in. You remember when you clowns on the right said, the world would love us so much more? Is that before or after you said the blank hole countries thing? Yeah, never mind. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
www.marijuanalegalization.com.
Marijuana legalization might not mean a lot to you professionally, but it may to your clients and employees, bankers and investors, property owners and landlords. Minnesota Lawyer has got your back with the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Denver-based researcher, the Marijuana Policy Group, will present data on the economic impact legislation has had in Colorado and how that might translate to Minnesota. You'll hear from professionals in other states that legalized marijuana about what's at stake for you. Human resources professionals can learn about the effects on employees and how the hiring process could change. Attorneys will learn how to protect their clients. Commercial real estate brokers and agents will hear about investment opportunities from an expert panel. Speakers include Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, Speaker of the House Ryan Winkler, and Senators Melissa Franzen, Jeff Hayden, and Scott Jensen, as well as several Minnesota business leaders. Learn strategies that work at the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Register now at canconmn.com.
I'm John Peterson of Ferndale Market, and I'm the third generation to grow turkeys on our family farm in Cannon Falls. We've grown them the same way since 1939, free range and without antibiotics. We're proud of the way our turkey tastes naturally, so we never add fillers or basting solutions, just 100% pure turkey. And we're proud to remain an independent family farm. Looking for an extra special addition to this year's Thanksgiving feast? Our fresh, never frozen turkeys remove the hassle of thawing and can be picked up just days before your celebration. Available at natural food stores across the region. Reserve your fresh, free-range Thanksgiving turkey for pickup at our store right on our farm in scenic Cannon Falls or at one of our retail partners. For more information on finding our Ferndale Market Thanksgiving turkey near you, visit us at ferndalemarket.com. That's ferndalemarket.com. Thank you for your support of local foods and farmers. We'll hope to see you at Ferndale Market soon. FerndaleMarket.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Brad and Robbinsdale. I'll tell you what, let's get Brad's call in here before I get to my final article. Welcome on in, Brad.
Okay, well, first of all, this is the anniversary of the death of Paul and Sheila Wellstone. And I think people should reflect upon, again, how he might react to the most recent events involving the, criminalization investigation regarding the oranges of the Russian investigation. I mean, this is a new step, and it looks like, again, they're using the power of the Justice Department to go after their political enemies. And, I mean, this is just, things starting to get really frightening here.
It is. And thanks, Brad. I appreciate it. Nope. And if you're wondering how I really think about it, go listen to the first three segments of the show. Because, yeah. From City Pages. Evan Stern's meeting with Bob Kroll got off to a surprisingly great start. It was downhill from there. Stern had watched Kroll, president of the Minneapolis Police Federation, become an outspoken and highly visible supporter of President Trump, culminating in the creation of the Cops for Trump shirt and Kroll's appearance on stage with Trump at the wildly off-script October 10th rally in Minneapolis. To see Bob Kroll, this is a quote, to see Bob Kroll stumping for President Trump on Fox News and at the rallies in the union selling shirts promoting the message police in Minneapolis are for Donald Trump, that sent a chill down my spine, said Stern. Well, he basically goes on out and tries to talk to some of the local police officers who are kind of uncomfortable and in denial and don't want anything to do with it. So they basically tell him to go talk to Kroll himself, and Stern just did that. Last week on Tuesday, he walked into the Minneapolis Police Federation office without an appointment, first stopping to ask the secretary if he was allowed to park in the lot. He was. Stern then asked if he could meet with Bob Kroll and then had told Kroll was busy with something, but that he could wait in the lobby. About 10 minutes later, Kroll emerged and invited Stern into his office. Stern thanked him for making time in his calendar. So far, so good. Unfortunately, neither man found the brief discussion that followed especially productive. Stern tried explaining to Kroll why Trump made many Jews uncomfortable and how threatening the president's rhetoric in ideology was to minorities. Kroll was not interested. It looked like he wanted to have a political debate, Kroll says. I listened for about 5 minutes. I told him I represent the Federation members here, and I'm not going to get into an ideological debate about politics with you. Stern brought up attacks on George Soros and the sort of shadowy Jewish funder behind the scenes and says Kroll called Soros everything to the effect of uniquely awful. Expanding on that thought, Thursday, Kroll explained, I think George Soros is behind a lot of the funding of the ultra-left and sometimes violent groups you see out there, such as Antifa! Isn't it amazing? Just anyone on the left is all violent Antifa. That's all they. This is a cop saying this, too. Wow. And other protesters. Kroll says he also says any allegation Trump holds bigoted views is a false narrative. No, it's not. He's a bigot. There were good people in the Nazis and the Klan in Charlottesville. That's a racist statement. There's not a false narrative. Everyone's quick to call him a racist, but if you ask them to define why and give examples, everyone falls short. Charlottesville! Blank hole countries! Oh, God. The fact that he went after the squad, why is he going after those women specifically? Come on, man. No, he validates racist Bob Kroll, head of the union in the Minneapolis Police Department. Trump validates racists, and you love him. I don't know if those two things are connected at all. By the way, City Pages also has a bunch of things that they kind of link in the story to say, you know, about Trump's racism. Kroll decided to cut the meeting off only after a few minutes, saying, "We're done here," and standing to walk Stern to the door. Stern asked if they could meet again and continue talking. He says Kroll told them he wasn't interested, that if Stern had anything else to say, he could put it in writing. As Kroll walked out the door, Stern did something he admits was not proud of. With four or five union staffers around, Stern turned to Kroll and said, "You're a blank." Stern says Kroll, a much larger man than him, said, "Excuse me," and walked up to him, leaving Stern essentially at chest level to the police union head. "Say that again," Kroll said, according to Stern. "I dare you, I'm not wearing a body camera." Oh, so nice of you, sir. Oh, that's nice of you. Stern took the line as a direct threat and immediately turned and left. Kroll said he can't recall the specifics of what he said, but Lisa was something along the lines of, "Get the blank off our property." He denies daring Stern to call him a blank again. He says he never made any sort of threatening statement to Stern, who he now thinks was merely out to start trouble with the police. He wants to have a political debate with officers, Kroll said. That's a little bit he's a bit off. Okay, no, wait. You're the guys wearing Cops for Trump shirts. You are the one starting the political debate, jackass. You are, body cam boy. You're the ones that started the political debate. You just don't want anyone challenging you. That's called pathetic cowards, Bob. That's called pathetic cowards. And it goes on to, you know, there's something not right with the guy's brain. No, there's something not right with your brain, dude. Kroll shared a notice with City Pages from 5th Precinct Inspector Amelia Huffman, who warned police Stern had become visiting all the had been visiting all the precincts trying to engage officers in political debate at the Police Federation, white nationalism, active shooters, and last week's Trump visit. Huffman continued, "His statements seem unintentionally provocative and maybe seeking to create a public incident of some sort." No, what started off the provocation was you guys wearing your Cops for Trump shirts all throughout town and saying a big F you to everyone in town who doesn't agree with Trump. That's what started this, you clowns. The notice advised any cops whose Stern approaches to avoid engaging in a political debate with him. For his part, this is nice, an APB out on a guy about politics. Oh, that's not authoritarian at all, is it there, Bob, body cam boy? For his part, Stern says he was heartened by some of the interaction with the cops, who told him they didn't support Donald Trump, and the numerous officers said they'd risk life to defend Stern and others from a terrorist attack. That said, he still thinks they don't grasp what people like him feel. No, because that's what Bob Kroll is. Bob Kroll is one of the cast members on the space shuttle trying to go through this. He thinks he can yell at you into agreeing with him. He thinks he can force you into agreeing with him. He's just a jerk, man, and he's a bully. And by the way, this story alone should warrant him getting fired from the Minneapolis Police Department. It probably should. Maybe you should have worn a body cam to defend yourself next time. God, have a good weekend, everyone. We're back on a Monday. Till then, see ya.